I want to read from 1 Kings chapter 2. If you'd like to read there with me. Sometimes the things that you say, you don't know for sure if it's getting out there. I used to tell my boys every year on their birthday, especially when they was younger, I'd say something along the line. I'd say, if you lined up all the six-year-olds in the world and I could only have one six-year-old, I'd pick you to be my boy, my six-year-old. And I think you need to say stuff like that, but I got a note in my office that's up there that Luke wrote me back when he was still pretty young. I don't know how old he was, but he said, if you'd line up all the dads in the world, I'd pick you to be my dad, even with your hair messed up. Which when I get up in the morning, my hair looks like I spiked it and did all kinds of stuff to it. If I wore it to church, I'm sure I'd be in style, you know, but that's what he's talking about. 1 Kings chapter 2, it says, verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and keep his statutes, and his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. I want to preach on a father's final word. I know it's Father's Day, and we wished you a happy Father's Day, all of you fathers. And, it used to bother me. I've got some old books about that preach messages to on special occasions. Got one book, it's got messages on Washington's birthday, Abraham Lincoln's birthday, every Memorial Day you could think of. They didn't have anything for Father's Day. And I thought, why in the world have got stuff for Mother's Day? I found out that Father's Day was not a holiday or a special day until later on. I'm not sure about the particular time when it became a day. But the truth is, it may have came late, but it's a needed day. Especially in our time, because that it seems like manhood and masculinity is under attack nowadays. I understand there's unworthy dads. There really is. There's deadbeat dads and fellas that's left their families and different ones that are unworthy. I mean, they may have biologically been able to be a father, but they've never really been a dad whatsoever. I understand that. But there are many good examples, and you're looking at some of them right around you here today. And then there's some that realize that they've had some flaws, but they most definitely are doing better and trying to do better. And their goal is to be the father that God wants them to be. Now, David here gave his final words to Solomon. And I realize this story doesn't really have anything to do with a father speaking to a son. I'm fixing to tell you. I called up Randy Webb, and we was just talking about what we was going to preach on Father's Day. I told him that I was going to preach on this scripture. And if you know Randy Webb, you realize that his sister Marilyn was a great part of strength in his life while she lived. She died of cancer a few years ago. And he said, you know, it's funny that you'd bring that up to me, those words right there. He said, my sister called me the morning before she died. And she read this chat, read these verses that you just talked about to me. And I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And she said, Randy, you're a strong man. She said, you keep on obeying God, and I know the devil attacks you, but you are a strong man. You know, I believe he needed that, but I believe Solomon needed that as well. The strength of his father's words in this manner. And I also want to tell you that all fathers and men may also gather strength from the words of David as he speaks these final words to his son. He knew he was a dying. He faced it with courage. He understood, and you can face death with courage when you know where you're going. He also had a desire to be useful in his final moments of life. That was something about David. He was always finding something to do for the Lord. And here he couldn't find anything better but to encourage his son in the ways of God. He had a good outlook on life. I realize he had some personal failures. I also understand that there were some things in his life that was incomplete, that he still did not have finished. But he still had a good outlook on life and even a vision for the future. He had lived for something bigger than himself. And all men need a mission in life. There needs to be something that they take as a task or a calling. But it needs to be so big that it goes beyond their short span of years. David had a calling and a mission that was bigger than he could get done in a lifetime. And so he passed on some things to the next generation. I want you to understand that when you become a Christian, you're living for a mission that's much bigger than you can ever get done in your lifetime. Paul didn't complete it, Peter didn't complete it, and neither did the generation before us, and neither shall we unless Jesus comes and blows and the trumpet is blown and we're taken out of this world. And he said, it is finished. And the truth is, the work that the Christian man has will never be accomplished. So we need to make sure we pass it on to the next generation. Amen. First Chronicles in 28 or 29, I think it's 28, where that David gives this same type of speech unto his son. He also tells him to be strong and build the temple. You remember, that was one thing David wanted to get done. He wanted to have a building that was magnificent. A beautiful temple. In fact, if you read it just right, you realize that God gave him the plans for the temple, just like God gave Moses the instructions of how to build the tabernacle. And God gave David instructions on how to set up the priests and their courses and so on. During the days of Moses, the tribe of Levi and the priestly tribe were not as big as during the day of David. And so God set it up where the priest served in courses of 24 with the high priest being 25, and they came before the Lord and so on. That was a part of David's plan. You read in 1 Chronicles, he gives his son Solomon charge to implement this, how to build the temple. And it was too big for him. He couldn't get it done. He was not the man for the job. But you know what he did? Even though he could not build the temple and implement the things that he felt on his heart, he could amass the gold and the silver and the jewels and the materials that was needed for Solomon to be able to build the temple to where he would not have to do so much and gather so much and take so many offerings. I want you to understand, we may not get it all done, but we need to amass a spiritual stockpile of wealth so the next generation can continue on in a spirit of revival. Where
that this church will continue to be a place where the glory of God is manifested. And people are saved and delivered from sin. Folks are healed of their sicknesses. That people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. And holiness and sanctification is still preached and lived. And if this generation takes that seriously, we can most definitely pass it on to the next generation. We need to have a vision, just like this dad did. A vision that's bigger and greater and outlives us. Hallelujah. It wouldn't it be just a shame to live for something that's going to die when you die? Amen? I mean, just whatever it is. You work at your job, and listen, that's a necessary thing, and you do it for the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there needs to be a mission that's just higher than punching a time clock and getting that work done. You got to have a mission for the Lord as well, and that is a bigger vision. Well, I also want to tell you, his words reflected his life. He was a man of vision. And he was able to cast this vision to his son because he had lived as a man of vision. He was a man. Glory to God. He was a man. And he as a man could say, son, I want you to be strong and I want you to be a man. And you know, that makes a big difference right there. Amen. David was not a sissy saying, come on, be a man, you know. He said it, and he may have been feeble in body, but it was a powerful statement when he said it to his son. And so his son got the picture of being a man. He was a man of character, and he was able to emphasize, son, I want you to follow the ways of God as well. And he was a man that failed. But he was a man that repented and went on and was an example after his failure. And friend, because he went on, he was still able to promote a life of godliness to his son and speak to him about living for the Lord. And we are all giving our final words as men to our next generation, whether you are a father or not. You are giving your final words. You're preaching your funeral. And we can't say one thing and live another and get a message to the next generation. We can't be all upset about the values of America falling apart when we don't have any values ourselves. In order to have a faith that you can pass on, you got to have a genuine faith. In order to have convictions to pass on, you're going to have some convictions that you would live and die for yourself. And when there arises a group of people that says one thing and does another by your own life, my friend, you are passing down something to the next generation. Because I'm going to tell you, it's easier to pass down bad character than good character. Because all children have a natural propensity for evil and not good. And if we have a certain insincerity in our own lives, they'll catch that real quick. If we have a certain hypocrisy in our own lives, they'll catch that real quick. Now again, there's people as straight and as sincere as Samuel was that still had bad children. Everybody's going to make a decision. And listen, let's don't let them point to our lives and say, I'll tell you, they was one thing at church and they was another thing at home. They'd back the preacher on when he preached against movies, but he'd go and get stuff and bring it into the home. Amen. That's a completely different type of person right there. Amen. The force of our words is our life. And when somebody has a life to back up their words, that message is powerful, folks. I was at a youth rally and they called on George Davis. Y'all remember Brother George Davis? Boy, I tell you, sometimes I still miss him. He's been dead for I don't know how long. But he'd show up at camp meetings and sing those songs. And I'll tell you, he was quite a shouter. And I appreciated Brother George Davis. But I remember he was a little feeble. They called on him on this youth rally. And Bill Parks and I was sitting on the front pew next to each other. I was supposed to preach that night. Brother Davis got up and staggered around. He'd been sick and was so weak that night. And he said, "I have been young and I am old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken." And you know, every person in that building stood to their feet. There was some force to those words. And when he got to singing, though he was weak, there was worship because there was a life behind those words. And I want you to understand, words are good, but the life behind it makes it very powerful. And so we can speak with power. So what was David's charge? He said, "Be strong." He said, "I want you to be strong." That's a command that must be followed. There has to be a certain... You know, Paul said the same thing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That sounds to me like that we as Christians, as well as men, have a duty to be strong. But how are we to be strong? In the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. We have the might of God available and a command to be strong. So you know what? Since God commanded us to be strong, we can. And He'll give us His strength in this day that we live. That's to be strong in leadership. There's no compromise with the enemies, no compromise with our society, which would try to take the male out of leadership. I'm just going to tell you, I appreciate all great godly women. And in the Bible, there are some women that arose to leadership. Deborah was probably one of the best judges that Israel ever had. But she was the only woman judge that they ever had. Listen, I honor her. She's a great woman, but you're going to have to admit, this book is about leadership is male. Amen? It really is. I appreciate all godly ladies. I believe in lady preachers. You know, I don't have a problem with them whatsoever. But even they must function under the leadership of a man. Amen. And I hope you understand, we're supposed to be, as men, we're supposed to be strong in our leadership. Sometimes I believe that there are ladies that are just begging God, "Lord, would you make my husband into the leader of the home?" They would love to feel the protection of a godly man taking the leadership. Amen. I believe that's so. Now, I realize that's against society, but we can't compromise with society. The Bible is right. The Bible is true. And then I believe we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. This is not the case in this church, but there are places, and I appreciate these ladies that step up, but I've been at churches, especially when I evangelized. The ladies was the ones that prayed. The ladies was the ones that invited people out to revival. The ladies were the ones that were faithful to every service. There's all kinds of great things that we could say. They were the spiritual anointed singers. They were tremendous people, and I appreciate them, folks. I really do. Amen. What was the lady's name that had the prayer meeting where Paul went into Philippi? And Lydia, there she was. That was the starting of the message of the gospel in all of Europe through that spiritual lady. I appreciate her. But the fact of the matter is, amen, we need leadership that is spiritual and dedicated and holy in our men. And I believe we have that in our church. And we're very... Listen, I appreciate the fact that we got men that shout. I've been in churches, the women was the only ones that shouted and worshiped God. And listen, I'm not against them. I give them honor. Thank God they'll do it. But I want to tell you, they should not be the only ones that do it. Men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the home as well as the church. They're supposed to be the people that pray for folks and, amen, can cast out devils and pray in the home and set a spiritual atmosphere in their home to where the Holy Ghost is evident. I think one of the problems in some circles of our society, now again, I don't think it's in our church, but I think that there's been some places where the women were the dedicated spiritual people. And again, I hope you understand me. I honor them. I'm glad they'll do it. If a man won't do it, then let the women do it. But at the same time, folks, I think that there's been boys that's been raised to believe that for whatever reason, hey man, religion's for sissies and women. Praise God, we got some manly men here that'll pray around the altar, pray for the sick, pray for somebody to be filled with the Holy Ghost, pray in their homes. Amen. Willie Bond was a manly man that prayed 3 hours a day for over 60 years. And I'll tell you what, there has to be some spiritual leadership of praying and understanding what the Word of God is, and fasting and seeking the Lord and coming to church and worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. We all ought to be worship leaders, if I could put it that way. Because God is worthy of our worship. And then he said, be strong and be a man. Now, there's an attack on manliness in our country. And it's a very sickening thing. It started out with a feminist movement in the 60s. And if I could have brought a book out here and read to you some of their stuff that they wrote, like one feminist wrote this big treatise on children need fathers like fish need bicycles. She said, Men emphasize discipline, stoicism, and I can't remember all the other stuff she listed, and it sounded good to me. And she said, I'm sure these traits might be good for some people, but they're not good for children. I thought, what an idiot that woman was. Amen. They emphasize. It started in the 60s, folks. I'm telling you, a lot of stuff started in the 60s in America. And the problem is the children of the 60s are in charge of our country right now. The hippies and the people out there doing crazy things, they're in charge of our nation. They're in charge. But anyway, they did all kinds of stuff. They in 1968 they took a bunch of stuff that they felt like was a symbol of man's dominance. They wrote songs that showed that they felt like man was like a slave owner and a woman was the new slavery in our world in America. And they took all kinds of items and burned them at the 1968 Miss America pageant, including some of their undergarments, and I never could figure out what that had to do with men being in authority. I don't understand that. But I'll just tell you the simple facts right now. Amen. Listen, this stuff drives you crazy. It makes you insane. People are stupid right now. Amen. And this all started in the 60s, but it's escalated. It's escalated right now to where that they have promoted women taking their little boys and doing everything that they could to make them more sissified. Dress them in sissified, blousy looking clothes. Amen. Make them play with dolls and stuff like that. Now listen, I had a dear old saint that's already in heaven when I first came here give John Mark a doll when I came here. So, you know, I thanked her. She's in heaven, and she meant well. She's very, but you know, I'm just going to tell you, though, even though I was quiet for a little while, boys play with dolls different than girls do. Girls will cuddle them and put a bottle in there. Boys body slam them. You know? Boys put them in headlocks. You know? But the feminist movement wanted you to get the dolls to where that they would play with them like a little girl. But they're not little girls. And I want to just, you know, I think that there is something in a man that's supposed to be dangerous. They're supposed to protect. They're supposed to have something about them that has a warrior spirit. There really is. And the feminist movement has tried to get men to where that they don't talk like men, walk like men, dress like men, and now we've got homosexuals, we got now transsexual. Listen, we didn't have that in America. But there was a time when it's all right to be a man too. And I think that we're going to have to come back to the Bible. Listen, the Bible does not put down men. It condemns sin where there is sin. If a man is an adulterer, or violent, or murderous, or bully, or whatever, it condemns that. But I'm just going to tell you, this book right here lifts up manhood.
Right.
Amen. Most of the heroes of the Bible are men's men. I mean, look at Abraham and Moses and Joshua and what about David himself and his mighty men? And what about the bravery we see in Elijah on Mount Carmel calling fire down from heaven? Amen. What about John the Baptist? What about Paul the Apostle, the adventurer? And what about Jesus Christ himself that could drive out? Amen. I think that place that he drove out of the temple was like 3 football fields of people. Do you think he was a sissy? I don't believe it. Not whatsoever. Amen. When Jesus said, "Whom do people say that I am?" They said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah." Amen. You know why they said that? Because Jesus was not a sissy. I tell you, this book is a manly book. The gospel is a manly gospel. Taking up the cross, that's not for sissies. Being a soldier for the Lord, that's not for sissies. This is a manly gospel right here, folks. And 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, and I could read some other scripture, but the Apostle Paul said this, and he said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That means quit, it means to steel yourself and be brave. Be brave like a man's brave. Listen, that's in your DNA. That's the way God made you. Amen. God made you to have a warrior spirit. God made you to have a certain adventurous spirit. God made you to take the leadership. Amen. Be a wise man and do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hollywood attacks this nature of man. It either makes man look like a bumbling fool that women always have to fix it. Now listen, I don't have a TV. I don't watch movies. I do not do that, period. Just ask my boys. I don't do it. This is simple facts. I read stuff. Even in the media, it is a simple, they come across this many times. Worldly authors say, "Why does Hollywood want to make man look like an idiot? And if they do look wise, they're like a sissified soft guy or a superhero that no man could be, you know?" I mean, they're either Arnold Schwarzenegger or some limp-wristed sissy that... no real man wants to be like. They defame what man is, and sometimes they'll make him look like some predator or some evil person. I'm just going to tell you, I'm unashamed, and I'm unashamed of you brothers that's good men. I thank God for manly men that go to our church, that know how to work, that if some Islamic Nazi fascist came in here, he'd be sorry he came to our church. Amen. Because there'd be some men that stand up and protect the people as best as they could. Hallelujah. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm thanking God that some men are living out what they're supposed to be. Thou shalt be a man. And he said, be a man of character as well. He told them to keep God's word in your heart. Learn God's ways by praying and knowing God. Keep the commandments by living God's word. I love this scripture in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Amen. I could quote it, might not, but I better read it. Children's children are the crown of old men. That's why they love to talk about them grandchildren. They got pictures, they got all kinds of stories. But listen to this. The glory of children are their fathers. And no wonder our generation, we've got people that's put down manliness and fathers and so on, and we do have some fathers that skipped out. We've got some fathers that's been irresponsible and evil and wicked, and it's damaged the next generation. And I'll tell you what, right now, you fathers that are really fathers, you're the glory of your children. Praise the name of Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. We all make mistakes. I don't think there is such a thing as a perfect earthly father. Amen. But I'll tell you, the father that succeeds is a godly, humble servant father that takes the lead, prays and asks God, and God comes down and has mercy upon him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then there's a promise. Amen. I'll go back to this scripture here in 1 Kings chapter 2. Amen. The promise was that God would prosper him if he did all of these things. That's the same thing that God spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1 and 8. If the word of God would not depart from his mouth, God would prosper him in all of his ways. In Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, it says that we'll separate ourselves. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It goes on and on. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that giveth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper. In 3 John 1 and 2, amen, John said, amen, I would that above all things, amen, you would prosper as your soul prospers. Listen, God is one to bless the men of our church and even of our country. But we're going to have to step up, and we are stepping up, I believe, and be the man God wants us to be, and be strong in the Lord, and let God help us. In 1 Chronicles 28, where David is speaking again, a little more is spoken here in 28. And verse 20, he says to Solomon, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Oh, glory, you say the work's too big. Listen, God's going to be with us. God's going to help us get whatever we need to get done in our generation. Amen. And that is the desire of God's hand, or God's desire. Amen. In verse 4 of 1 Kings 2, I'm getting too hurried. I probably should have slowed down, but it said that the Lord may continue his word. Oh, glory. God started Fairland in revival. And there were men, real men, that got saved in that revival and promoted revival. Hey man, I don't know if Brother Herbert Bond got saved. Did he get saved in that first revival? I know he's involved in that. Brother Herbert did. Brother Willie did. Didn't Brother Boost get saved in that? All of them were men, folks. Hallelujah. They strong men, spiritual men, leadership men. They got saved and they passed on the revival. Glory be to Jesus. I believe God wants to continue His word. Continue. Amen. In the might and the power that this church was started on and founded upon. He's one to raise up generation after generation that will live for God. Hallelujah. Continue His word. In the New Testament, it said after that David had served his generation, he fell asleep. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Dads, let's serve our generation. And then when it's time to go home, God can tell us when it's quitting time. Amen. But until that day, let's keep on working until Jesus comes or death calls. Glory to God, because somebody needs to continue this. Could we all stand? Let's give God a praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, I love you, Lord. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I thank you, Jesus. I magnify you and glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. You know, I feel the Spirit of God here. I'm just going to tell you, God is a Father like no other Father. He loves us. He cares for us. He'll protect us, defend us, provide for us. I'm also going to make it plain. He'll forgive us. Oh, what an example. When I was talking about the manliness of this book, remember God's called Father. Like Brother Dwayne said, what an honor. What an honor for us as fathers. And I want you to understand that us as fathers need to take from His perfect example and the way He forgives and the way He works with and the way He's long-suffering. And friend, if you're here today and you're lost or you're backslid, you're away from God the Father, He'll take you back. He'll forgive you. He'll set you on the right path. He'll take you back right into the family. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want to ask, is there anybody here say, I'd like to get back right with God? Would you raise your hand? Anybody that needs to get right with God? You can right here this morning, because God is a good God. He's a Father that will take care of you. He'll love you. He'll provide and protect you. Yes, He will. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like for us all to come around this altar and let's seek the Lord. Let's ask God to help us to pass on faith and revival and the power of God to the next generation. Let's seek the Lord, even as David prepared so that the next generation could enjoy the blessings that he had enjoyed. Let's pray that God will help us to be the leaders, be the people we need to be to pass on the work of God.